we are having our, in Cleveland, our annual marriage conference. If anybody wants to see the flyer, we have it. Also, we send out some emails to many of you. And if you don't know about it, I do have the ads. You're all welcome. It's we do it Saturday, the 15th, 3:30 to 7:30. And the next day, we do one more session. This year, we're going to be looking at developing spiritual, emotional, and physical intimacy. So it should be pretty good. You'll be blessed if you come to it. All right? All welcome. Thank you. Thank you so much, brother. And someone said, do you have to be married to come? No, you don't have to be married to come. Many people who are looking in the marriage of the future come and take notes. And we have several couples that come for their marriage counseling. They take the classes there, the conference, and take notes for that as well. So you are welcomed if you have two legs and you are able to walk and show up. Everyone's welcome. All right, let's pray and we'll continue. Father, thank you so much for allowing us the privilege and the honor of remembering Jesus this morning. How wonderful when you put these thoughts into different brothers' hearts and they get up and express such beautiful things about Jesus. And we do want to draw closer to him. We want to see his beauty more and more. And we pray that the Holy Spirit would allow us to see him in all of his greatness. We pray that the Holy Spirit would guide us this morning even as we look at your word. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 How wonderful it is to belong to Jesus and to be born again. Amen? Right? To know that we were lost and Jesus loved us and reached out to us and cleansed us from sin and gives us hope and purpose. Isn't that exciting? Right? We of all people should be full of joy and excitement just because we are saved. If Jesus does nothing else, he did enough with that. Amen? Right? Give us new birth and new life. All right, let's go to Psalm 101. I usually try to do studies in the first one that no one ever gives. In other words, I've never heard anyone give a study on Psalm 101. And also, I take this, as I've told you before, as you are people who know the word, many of you, and you, Lord willing, are maturing, growing in your faith. So this is something for you to be able to use if you are discipling somebody. Right? And that's my goal many times in the first meeting, to equip, to prepare you so you can use these notes so that when you meet with someone, you have some discipleship material. Because many times we meet with someone and we don't know what to tell them, right? And we kind of just talk, how are you, have you read a verse? And we don't have any set plan to how to help a young man, a young woman, or a couple to actually grow in their faith, right? And so hopefully this will give you a little bit more to meet with someone and talk over these issues. All right, so this is what I titled David's Standards. David's Standards for his leadership as a king over the nation of Israel. Right. So this seems to be a messianic psalm. And in fact, I think most commentators would agree that it's messianic, the desire to establish an ideal kingship or kingdom and nation. And of course, we know that it can only be fulfilled in Christ Jesus in the millennium. Right? That's when there's going to be ideal conditions in regards to an absolute righteous judge, judgments, and morality. There's a lot of things in the Bible that are ideal. It's impossible to fulfill. For example, Proverbs 31. Many women read Proverbs 31 like, man, what is this? Some kind of a superwoman? Who in the world can fulfill Proverbs 31, but we know that it's idealistic. And many of the things that are talked about in that proverb is things that you could do at different stages of life. not necessarily everything in one package at one time. We also know that when we look at the list in 1 Timothy about elders, you look at that and you're like, who can fulfill that? Who can consistently be able to do all of those things? And so I remember being in the Bible college, and our instructor says, this is the ideal. This is the ideal. We want to be doing that, but there are times that even elders get greedy, and they're not supposed to. Then you repent, and you get back in track with the Lord. Right? And that doesn't mean you have to quit being an elder, because then no one would be an elder, because nobody qualifies for everything all the time. So what David is doing here is he realizes that he has a great responsibility before him. He's going to be a king. And so he's thinking, what are going to be my standards? Every one of us have responsibilities as well. You're either responsible at work, right, in your position. Regardless of what it is, we have responsibilities. Or it could be that you're at home, you're a housewife. Or you have responsibilities too. Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, we have to say, okay, what are going to be my standards? So I remember my wife and I sitting down before we got married, and we're like, what are our standards? What are our goals? What are we going to live for? And so one of the first things that we said was, we're going to make Jesus Christ first in our life. We're going to put Him first, right? And I'm telling you, if we wouldn't have done that, I don't know if we would still be married. We always kept going back to that. Even at times when we were having difficulties, they say, remember, we said it was about the Lord. And even though I'm mad at you right now, I'm not going anywhere. Because it's about Jesus. And that has been the glue that has kept our marriage together. Right? And since then, we've grown a lot and matured. And we stopped half of the fighting. Have you stopped yet? It's kind of tough, isn't it? But it's turned into a little minimal thing where it used to be all the time. It was a war zone. Now it's peace in general. Okay, so David then, he also observed Saul. Remember, he worked with him a lot when Saul was king. And the administration, the lack of morals, ethical standards, the liars that he hung around with, the slanders, the evil, selfish men, treating people bad who were innocent because they were jealous, men who were rebellious at heart, even though they feigned religion. And so David had observed all this, and he's thinking, I don't want that to be part of my kingdom. And remember, God had said and declared, this is a man after my own heart. When Saul was going to anoint him, he said, I'm looking at the heart. I'm looking, not looking at the body, the physical aspect. I'm looking at his heart. And so David then realizes, I need to set up a standard and try to stick to it as best I can. Because I'm a man after God, and I want God to bless this kingdom, to bless this nation, to be glorified. All right, so let's take a look then at this psalm. And also, hang on, let me grab my phone real quick. Time out. Okay, what I want to do, after I read it in the New American Standard, I want to read it to you also in the New Living Translation, because I like the way the New Living Translation lays it out. Okay, so let's begin. I will sing of loving kindness and justice to thee, O Lord, I will sing. And then notice then that he starts laying out the things that he's going to do in his kingdom with his cabinet, if you will, with those who are going to serve with him. I will give heed to the blameless way. When wilt thou come to me? I will walk within my house in the integrity of my heart. I was set no worthless thing before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not fasten its grip on me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will know no evil. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. No one who has a haughty look or an arrogant heart will I endure. My eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a blameless way is the one who will minister to me. He who practices deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who speaks falsehood shall not maintain his position before me. Every morning I will destroy all the wicked of the land, so as to cut off from the city of the Lord all those who do iniquity. All right, now let me read it to you in the New Living Translation. Now those of you who are extremely conservative and still struggle a lot with a lot of rules and all of that kind of stuff, I am a recovering legalist, all right? Not alcoholic, I never had a problem with that. I'm a recovering legalist, right? And some of you, I can't believe he's going to read the New Living Translation. That's evil. It's not evil. All right, just listen to it and relax. All right, I'm not going into false doctrines or denying the Word of God or anything like that. Just listen to the Word of God in this paraphrase. All right, Psalm 101. I will sing of your love and justice, Lord. I will sing with song. I will praise you with songs. I will be careful to live a blameless life. When will you come to help me? I will lead a life of integrity in my own home. I will refuse to look at anything vile and vulgar. I hate all who deal crookedly. I will have nothing to do with them. I will reject perverse ideas and stay away from every evil. I will not tolerate people who slander their neighbor. I will not endure conceit and pride. I will search for faithful people to be my companions. Only those who are above reproach will be allowed to serve me. I will not allow deceivers to serve in my house, and liars will not stay in my presence. My daily task will be to ferret out those the wicked and to free the city of the Lord from their grip. Wow. So you can see then that David understood that if God was going to bless his ministry, he had to set up standards. And again, if you're discipling someone, or if you're a disciple of Christ, you have to set up standards for your own life. You have to say, I will allow certain things, but other things I will not, because this will not glorify the Lord. And I need to remove it from my life. And I need to live a certain way. So the first thing David does is he acknowledges that God is just and merciful. And if my kingdom is going to reflect, the fact that you are in my life and you're real to me and I have a heart after you, then my kingdom is going to be just and it's going to be merciful. I'm going to sing about it. I'm going to sing of your love and your justice. Right? So David's convictions and practice now are going to start, notice, they start at home. Even though he's setting up a standard, a manifesto for the kingdom, how he's going to run it, and he's going to hang with them. Notice that the first thing he says is, my standards have to start at home. And so, notice what he says then in the psalm. Verse 2, I will give heed to the blameless way. When will thou come to me? I will walk within my house in the integrity of my heart. You know as well as I that what we are at home is what we really are. And we all know how to come to church and say the right things and have the right behavior. But we never fool our wives. We never fool our children. They see us. And so David is saying, what kind of man do I want to be? What kind of man do I need to be? I need to take heed. I need to take notice. I need to be a man who is blameless in his way. Put it this way, in 1 Timothy, we need to be men, women, people who are beyond reproach. The importance of having the right character in deed, word, attitude, and finances will come to light in a minute. But I will be careful to live a blameless life. When will you help me, O Lord? And so, that's a tremendous thing. Lord, help me in my life, with my family, at work, wherever you're at, to be blameless. That's a good standard to have, and that's a good thing David was asking for. Now look at Psalm 15. David again is reflecting here on what it takes to get near to God and to be used by God. And so in Psalm 15, he says, O Lord, who may abide in thy tent? Who may dwell on thy holy hill? He who walks in integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. He does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord. He swears to his own hurt and does not change. He does not put out his money at interest, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be shaken. So you can see then that again David was very aware that if he wanted God to bless him, he was going to be a man after God's own heart. Then he needed to be careful with his deeds, with what he said, with how he lived. He had to be beyond reproach. Now, some of the elders and I of Cleveland have sat down together and we reminded each other often. Gentlemen, if we want God to bless this work, we need to be beyond reproach. We need to constantly check our lives and make sure that we're living the blameless life. And so, the next thing he says is, I will walk about in the integrity of my heart in the midst of my home. I will behave myself wisely and in a perfect way. So, what one brother said to me about 2 weeks ago, he said, Ray, you know why my kids don't come to church anymore? I said, no, why? He goes, because when we were growing up, all the way to church, I was yelling at their mom. And I was angry, always angry and mad. Right? And so they saw that. And then they would see me change as soon as I got off my car and walk into church. And then now that they're older, I have acknowledged it and I talked to them and I told them I was sorry. He goes, and maybe down the line they'll come. They do visit on occasion. And so that's what we're talking about. I'm going to walk in the integrity of my home. I'm going to be careful. And so the good thing is that he has restored the fellowship with his children, and he's walking right with his wife now. No longer yelling. The Lord took away the anger out of his heart. The Lord is gracious, isn't he? And he's patient with us, and he works with us, and he gives us victory over those things that beset us. So then he says in verse 3, I will set no worthless thing before my eyes, or I refuse to look at anything vile and vulgar. Neither will I delight in it or endure it. And so Roger Meng, many of you know him, fellow elder, we were talking about this a couple of days ago. We were thinking, well, how in the world did men or women back then have problems with pornography when there was no movies, no videos, no phones, right? No pictures, cameras. How'd they do it? We're like, I don't know, but apparently it was an issue because Job writes about it. And he was the first writer of Scripture. So he said, I'll put no vile thing before my eyes as well. And so we were thinking, as we were talking about this, we don't know how that would happen back then. However, the Holy Spirit is so relevant through the Scriptures that we know that today we know what it means. And we can apply it to our lives. Right? And so, constantly being careful not to set worthless things before our eyes. And so, the Holy Spirit will help us to conquer this plague and will give us victory as believers over this. But you have to acknowledge that it's a problem. Have accountability and constantly pray, ask the Lord to give you holy eyes. Amen? Amen? Amen. It's a good standard to have. Now next he says in verse 3, I hate those who fall away. The doing of swerving deeds. I hate all who deal crookedly. I will have nothing to do with them. Very important that we're careful who we hang around with, who we do business with, who we deal with. There's a lot of people that do things crooked, and we need to stay away from them. I remember one uncle of mine, he was not even a believer, but he was always honest. He never did anything crooked, and when a man, he was a businessman, when a man would try to do business with him and say, how about we do something a little crooked? He would say, hey, that's it. I will no longer do business with you. And he would cut him off. And he was not even saved. How much more us? We need to have those standards that we will not go about our business or anything in crooked ways, because when we do things right, God's going to bless. We don't need to do things the wrong way to make more money. God will bless us when we do things the right. And so the doing of evil deeds will not cling to me. They won't fasten their grip in my life. So then notice next in verse 4, a perverse heart shall depart from me. That is a twisted or crooked, someone or something that is morally perverse in speech, thought, and lifestyle. Well, you've seen enough men at work and women, people at school and places you go that speak dirty, disrespectful. Their lifestyle is not correct. Again, we need to love the lost, but we need to know when to draw the line. Right? And because, believe it or not, in fact, 2-3 weeks ago, another brother in Texas we were talking, and he goes, when I was at work, everybody at work cursed all the time. And believe it or not, now once in a while when I get mad, I curse. And I hate it, but I admit that's my problem. But that's that, I learned that at work, and it stuck to me. And I'm asking the Lord to help me with it. And so that's what he means by this. A perverse heart shall depart from me. The filthy speech or thought life or lifestyles, because they try to share with you their filth and their stuff and it sticks. Yeah, we got to keep them at a distance. The New Living Translation, I will reject perverse ideas and stay away from every evil. Romans 16:19 puts it this way, for the report of your obedience had reached to all, therefore I am rejoicing over you, but I want you to be wise in what is good and innocent in what is evil. And I'm telling you, I repent of having in the past read stuff that was not good for my life. It was stuff that was I don't want to go through it, we have young people here. But you know, and I shouldn't have educated myself in that way. And again, you acknowledge it, you repent, say, Lord, I need to have higher standards if you're going to use me for your glory. And that's what David is saying. Verse 5. He who secretly slanders his neighbor, I will not tolerate people who slander their neighbors. Right? So, how many times does the Bible exhort us, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander along with all malice be put away from you? Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Let's put away that stuff, believers. It's not for us as Christians. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God has also forgiven you. And David, as he observed Saul and those men, you know, Doeg and so many others that hung around with him, he's like, oh my word, these men are just, the way they talk, the way they slander, the way they accuse and falsely speak. And he says, I don't want that for my kingdom. That doesn't reflect the heart of God. And so then he goes on to verse 6. The one who has pride of eyes and arrogant of heart, I will not endure. And what else did David acknowledge or observe? Well, Saul was a humble, normal guy, but he became king and he got arrogant and puffed up. How many people have you not seen and grown up with who are normal, humble people, and they get a position, they get a little bit of money or whatever, and they get puffed up? Or you get prideful and arrogant. You think that you should be the elder or the leader. And pride is a destruction of so many Christians. Right? And it's been an issue that I struggle with constantly. I said, Lord, take that pride from me and allow me to be humble and broken. I have no reason to be proud. And David, even though the Lord had exalted him, did not have a proud heart. He was humble. He realized, Lord, you took me from the sheep. I have no reason to get puffed up. And so I would not endure conceit and pride, is what he's saying. But we can do huge lessons on that, but we'll leave that alone. Then he says in verse 6 and 7, I will surround myself with faithful people, those who are blameless. They will be my counselors. I will search for faithful people to be my companions. And when we need advice, when we need someone to talk to counsel, look for someone who's a godly man who's going to give you good advice. And David says, as I'm forming these men who are going to be leadership with me, I need godly men that I can trust. Men who are humble, who are broken, who don't slander. Men that I can trust that are going to give me godly advice. And I'm telling you, I constantly call men and ask them advice. You're never too old. Until my dad passed away, I still kept calling him every week. Dad, what do I do? Give me some advice. We need to seek advice. With many counselors, there's victory, right? What does the proverb say? Right? And so we need to seek advice constantly and decision making with our children, with our lives, when we're going to do a business deal. My dad, before he did any business deal, called the family. You know, what do you think? Should I do it? Should I buy the house? We would all chip in and talk, but he would seek advice. And then he says he's going to avoid those who practice deceit. I'm going to stay away from liars. It's a good thing to do, right? Stay away from them and make sure you're not one yourself. And so, man, I had a lot more, but ran out of time. So let me just close out with this. David set up all these standards. And it's a good thing to do, right? I looked at that and I said, Lord, I want that to be true in my life too. Now, even though he did this, he failed in many ways. When he was around 50 is when he committed adultery and he murdered. And yet God forgave him and brought him back, and he died with God saying he was a man after my own heart. And so as we're looking at this, Don't fool yourself into thinking you can do it all the time, because you can't. And God is gracious, and when we repent of where we failed, He brings us back. And Lord willing, at the end of our days, He'll say, He was a man after my own heart. Right? Amen? So, this was His standard. And for the most part, He kept it. And He failed at times. But He ended well. Right? And praise God for that. Thank You for Your word, Lord. Bless it to our hearts. Amen. Anybody need one of the marriage conference things?